理课堂听 class.com。
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Technological developments have made our lives easier in many ways, but it's also creating some deep unease. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Studio Classroom Advanced Program. My name is Troy, and today here in the studio we have three guests along with me to discuss the article. In fact, it says society at the top of the article. However, it's about technology. Well, it's the way technology these days impacts society. We are talking in particular about technological developments that's opened the door to lots of changes in our lives. However, it's also created some problems with people who seem to be, well, a bit addicted to that technology, and they feel like they can't push away and get other things done that are necessary to get done, such as wash the dishes and clean the house and watch the kids and take out the garbage, because they're consumed with all of these communication tools. Well, here in the studio to help us to discuss today's lesson are the three persons I mentioned at the beginning. The first is Ethan. Hi, Ethan.
Hi, Troy. It's good to be here. And I think today's article is a very good one in which we need to each examine in our lives how technology is influencing us and if we are controlling it or if the technology is actually controlling our lives and how they run.
That's a good word you used, how it's influencing us, affecting us, or as it is used in the article here, impact, how it's impacting our lives. The second person is Jackie. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Troy. You know, I'm not a willing convert to technology. And so an article like this really hits home to me because there's so much that I am grappling with, trying to struggle with technology to begin with. And then there's so much new coming all the time that it's nice to see that they're actually studying this kind of thing and how it affects people.
Okay. Well, the third person in the studio today is Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Troy. Happy to be here today to talk about this very interesting subject. And we're going to cover a lot of interesting terms and actually discuss some opinions on technology, pros and cons.
I don't think people are aware just how much these technological developments, as good as they are, do impact our lives. In fact, when I think about my generation, here I am in my mid-40s, and looking back when this all started around 15, 20 years ago, at that time I bought my first computer. And even then I realized I was spending much more time in the office toying, playing with my computer, actually trying to get it to do what I wanted it to do. And therefore, I was probably spending less time with my wife. Now, that was 20 years ago when I bought my first computer. So from that time to today, I'm asking myself, well, have these toys, as complicated, as complex and as great as they are in many ways, has it really simplified my life?
It's a very good philosophical question, Troy, because when computers were initially introduced, particularly PCs, 20, 25 years ago, the myth was that, well, we've got this new tool for you to use that's going to make you save all this time. Rather, what has happened is it tends to make you more productive, so then you can cram more into your time, and now demands are being placed upon you to be more productive. So it really hasn't saved you or freed you up in time.
I think we'll see some validity to that point, Bill, in the article today. Well, let's hear about David Levy then, who actually, we see at the beginning of the article that will be read for us in just a second, when he actually had this, he staged this pop-up email, and the result was, well, not as impressive as he thought it might be. So now let's begin by listening to the reading of the first part of the lesson.
Technology's impact on our lives. Technological developments have opened doors and changed the dynamics of how we work, communicate, live, and even think. These tools have made our lives easier in many ways, but they're also stirring deep unease. David Levy, a professor at the University of Washington, believes he may have witnessed the first ever interruption by email. Back in the 70s, a small group of technologists were watching a scientist demonstrate how to use multiple parts of the computer screen. During his demonstration, an email popped up. "Oh, look," he said, "I've received a message." He typed a response, sent it, and went back to his presentation. It was stagecraft intended to highlight one of those ta-da moments. But not everyone was impressed or even pleased.
This is Advanced Studio Classroom. Marcy just read for us the first half of today's lesson, found in your magazine on page 40. The article is about society, and it is entitled Technology's Impact on Our Lives. Now, technological developments have opened doors and changed the dynamics of how we work, and that's what this article is looking at. Because we will see in the article some of the ways in which we are affected, not just socially, but also psychologically. So we begin there with David Levy.
Yes, we see he's a professor at the University of Washington, and he states or he believes that he may have witnessed the first ever interruption by email. And as we're going to read on, we'll find out that he staged this email interruption so that people could understand how to use this different type of email processor.
Now, it says here back in the 1970s, he was actually engaged in, I think this was more of an experiment on his part, because he was staging this whole thing. So he had a group of scientists who gathered around him, and it says here, while they were watching how to use multiple parts of a computer screen, what did he do during his demonstration?
Well, he had a pop-up message show up. This was an email that interrupted his demonstration. And I want to mention to our listeners that the screen everybody would have been looking at, this was 30 years ago, is very different from what you see today. An internet screen that has many choices and nice graphics and colors, the screen they would have been looking at most likely just contained maybe a dark background screen with white text printed on it.
Yes, or green, as was the color, I think, of my first monitor.
So an email popping up on this computer screen at that time would have been quite startling.
It would have been, Bill. So imagine then there was this email pop-up, and he said, "Oh, look, I've received a message." And right there, way back in the 1970s, David Levy typed a response, and he was basically putting the other technologist and scientist on hold, basically interrupting their time and their day to take care of some business that he had to do. It's kind of like when you're talking on your cell phone or when you're talking to someone and their cell phone rings and they grab their cell phone and they say, "Excuse me," and they leave you on hold.
Well, you know, we don't think anything of that now. We're so used to being interrupted by the phone, by email messages, by different types of technology, beepers, that you know, that doesn't sound strange to us, but I can remember those days too. And for, you know, to be looking at a screen like that and then for an email to pop up would have been very startling and not necessarily a welcome interruption.
And we see here that it was a planned event. It was stagecraft. Stagecraft is something you would plan to use, a device you would use in acting or in giving a speech. And so he had planned this would come along to interrupt him so that he could show this new technology. But even though it was a planned thing and he probably later explained why he had done it to be able to show it, some people still weren't impressed.
Okay, so he set them up. And I think he was wanting to demonstrate their reaction. He wanted to see their reaction firsthand. And he did, didn't he, Bill?
Yes. And we see they call this one of those ta-da moments. And we see ta-da in the box, which is an expression used when someone has successfully performed a challenging task. For instance, when a magician pulls a rabbit out of the hat, he'll pull the rabbit out of the hat and say, ta-da.
And sometimes we say, voila, as the French do. Well, let's then look on down to the cognitive overload, and we'll begin the reading there with Marcy to the end of today's lesson and understand maybe some of the problem or at least how we are being affected by this technological overload.
Cognitive overload. Email is just one drop in a flood of technology that has inundated our lives, from search engines and blogs to Wi-Fi and cell phones. The need for speed is shrinking our attention spans, prompting us to take the mile-wide but inch-deep approach, settling us into a rhythm of constant interruption. Scientists call this cognitive overload. Take multitasking, for example. Society expects and encourages it, and we believe we can do it. The truth, says David Meyer, a Michigan psychologist and cognitive scientist, is we don't and can't do it well. We can multitask if the tasks are simple and virtually automatic, think walking and chewing gum at the same time. But true multitasking is akin to jamming two TV signals down the same cable wire. You get static, not high definition. Closely related to multitasking is task switching, which is flitting between functions. When we switch from one task to another and back again, our brain is pushing pause and play buttons, says neuroscientist Jordan Grafman. The frontal cortex assesses tasks, ranks importance, and decides which activity takes priority. Yet what to do next isn't always your own decision. For example, your boss wants something now, or your kid's soccer game just got rescheduled. We're stressing people out with multitasking demands, says Grafman. Moreover, it will likely cause further decline in our health and performance if we keep it up.
Thank you, Marcy. This is Advanced Studio Classroom. We are now continuing on page 40, and we see at the top of the page on the right-hand side, it says cognitive overload. Now, when we use the word cognitive here, we're talking about a psychological term. It's a specialized term, Ethan.
Yes, and it just means a conscious mental process. So you are logically and purposely thinking through something.
Okay, now this isn't a word that we would commonly ordinarily use in everyday conversation, but it's a good word to know because if you're ever talking with a psychologist, he may actually use the word cognitive.
Well, you know, sometimes people will say, well, was she cognizant of that fact? Which means, did she know? Was she thinking about what she was doing or what she knew?
Okay, what about the word overload?
Well, if you're overloaded, that means there is too much of something happening. And so here we have cognitive overload. So there is too many things coming in and influencing, and we're having to focus our mental power on too many different things.
Okay, so perhaps our thinking is being overly stimulated.
Right. We see, Troy, in line 9 there of that column, the word inundated in a flood of technology that has inundated our lives. And when we are inundated, we just have a lot of stuff pouring on top of us. Just imagine a lot of water covering you up, or maybe just imagine a mountain of paperwork just burying you.
And we see that there are search engines and blogs and Wi-Fi and cell phones. And then earlier this month, we've talked about podcasting, and before we talked about other technological things too. And it just seems that they keep coming and they keep coming with these new great technological advancements. But at the same time, when do we say enough is enough? I'm not going to let this control my life with every new technological advancement.
Okay, so we see here the word overload. We also see the word flood and the word inundate. And they're using a metaphor here, water. When water washes over you like a flood, then you are inundated. You are under the water. You're being seized by this large amount of technology that your mind really cannot completely absorb.
And I like the phrase that they're using later on about line 14 where it says, mile wide but inch deep. And again, that's a flood type of analogy, a flood expression where you're covering a very, very large amount of material, but you're not getting very much depth to it. So you know a little bit about a lot of different things.
Jackie, they're talking about our attention span when they say that, aren't they?
Yes.
They're saying that our attention span these days is very short. It's shrinking. And in fact, when some kids get on the internet, if a web page doesn't load up in 5 seconds, they think that it's slow. If I don't have ADSL connection, then, you know, what's the value of surfing the internet?
And the thing is, you can also use that expression for subject matter. If somebody knows, a mile wide and an inch deep's worth of material, that means that they really haven't gone down deep into the material and know a lot about it. They know a little bit about a lot of different things.
So do we see what the author is trying to communicate? He's telling us that every time we receive some kind of reception from a technological device, we immediately are interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And we get into a pattern of interruptions,
right,
or a pattern of being interrupted, to the point that unless we're not interrupted, we feel uneasy. We're always wanting to be interrupted.
Well, it's interesting. You see these interruptions in everyday life, Troy. For instance, I'm thinking of people sitting at a restaurant. They might be having lunch or dinner with maybe four or five people, and you look over and maybe two or three of them are on the cell phone.
Hmm. Well, Bill, too, and I think people are just accustomed to these interruptions, and it has gotten to the point where if there isn't the interruption, they feel uneasy. They're waiting for something to bother them.
Well, and I think, too, as we talk about in the next paragraph here, we're going to talk about multitasking. I think part of the interruption culture, as I would call it, this culture where we have to have these interruptions, has developed in which people say, well, you need to multitask or do many tasks at the same time. And we're going to see that maybe that's not the best way to do something.
Well, multitasking, though, is something that society expects and encourages. If you have a boss and you work in an office, often they expect you to multitask, especially if you are working as an administrator or an assistant to an administrator. The understanding is that why didn't you answer your phone? Why didn't you do your email? Why didn't you get that paper off your desk over to my office? Why didn't you call Ms. So-and-so? So this is an expectation that people place on us. David Meyer said multitasking has become one of those words in the beginning that was very positive. However, it's now become perhaps it's not such a positive thing after all.
Right. We see in line 20, we begin the sentence, we can multitask if the tasks are simple and virtually automatic. And he says, think of walking and chewing gum at the same time. But it becomes negative when we try to do more complicated tasks, and the end result is we do both tasks poorly.
Okay. So what he's saying here then, David Meyer, the psychologist, Michigan psychologist, he says what we're trying to do is put too much information down too small of a pipeline. And he actually compares multitasking to jamming two TV signals down the same cable wire.
Well, yes, and I think this is an interesting allegory or metaphor here because we're talking about technology and how it's influencing our lives. And here he's saying in this technology, we're taking two signals and we're trying to stuff them down. And people know that if you try and put too many signals down a wire, you're going to end up with static rather than a high-definition picture. And so he's showing us that even in technology, it doesn't work that way.
Because the brain cannot, really, the brain was not meant to multitask. It was meant to focus and concentrate on one thing at a time. So the word jamming here is a vocab focus word.
And jamming means that when you're really cramming thing, putting two or more things forcefully into the same space. On a less technical level, you can talk about jamming yourself into your clothes. If you've gained a little weight and you have a dress or a pair of pants that you haven't worn for a while, and you try to put them on, you can jam yourself into it,
okay,
and you'll be a little bit uncomfortable in the process.
Might even use the word squeeze there as well.
Yes.
What we see on page 41 at the top on the left, closely related to multitasking, is another function now being used. It's called task switching, Ethan.
Yes, and which is flitting between functions. And we use the term flitting here. I think this is really good. And it just means to move quickly and lightly, especially from one thing to another. And so we have a whole bunch of tasks that we have to do. And we start one and we get part of it done. And then we quickly switch over to another task and work on that. And then we switch back and then we go to another one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this idea that we never really slow down and stop and work only on one thing. We're always working on a whole bunch of things at the same time.
Okay. Well, here in the article, a neuroscientist, Jordan Groffman, he tells us what that is like.
Well, he says it's like pushing the pause and the play buttons in your brain. In other words, it's like you had a VCR or whatever. You push pause, you push play, you push pause. Mm. But, it's interesting because task switching also used to be a good word.
Mm-hmm.
They would tell you, well, don't work too long on any one task. You know, you'll get burned out. You'll get so that you can't think. So, you know, work for half an hour here and then switch to another task and then come back to it. But we have taken it to the point where we work 2 or 3 minutes on one thing and then switch. And so now it's become more negative. It's not productive.
Okay. So the psychologists, psychiatrists are telling us it's bad. But here's a neuroscientist, a man who actually studies the way that the brain functions as it communicates to your emotions, as it communicates through your nervous system to your body. So what does Jordan Groffman say here?
He says the frontal cortex assesses tasks, ranks importance, and decides which activity takes priority.
Okay, and he says it isn't always your own decision. Some of it is just simply, well, it's automatic. In a way, if your boss is sitting in the office and he says, hey, you come over here, I've got a job for you to do. Well, it's already been decided what is priority for you. And then suddenly the phone rings. Well, maybe that really isn't a priority, but you've got to answer it, right?
You do, and I don't know how many times I've sat down and looked at my calendar for the week and think, oh, I've got this block of time, I could do this. I have this block of time, I could finish that. And the day never goes that way because somebody will come and say, oh, we need you on the radio program today. Or something will happen and come up, you know, oh, well, this didn't come in on time, can you finish it? And so you're constantly being interrupted, not because you want to, but it will always outrank what you're doing at the moment.
And I don't think it's just technology. It's that the world has made themselves busier. We're simply busier as people than we used to be in the past. And when you put technology into that mix, it's made our lives a lot hairier, would be a good word to use.
But a lot of it is technology. I can remember when you used to write a letter, you could sit back and breathe a sigh of relief because you knew that it'd be 2 weeks at least before you got an answer back. Now you write a letter on email and you more or less turn around and there's an answer back waiting for you to reply to.
And whether we're multitasking or task switching, Troy, the bottom line is we become less effective in achieving what our goals are. We're trying to be maybe a jack of all trades, master of none. We try to do everything, and what we end up doing is nothing well.
And if you'll notice on line 10 there, it says we're stressing people out. And stressing out is a verb phrase that we talk about in informal speech, and it means that we're actually putting people under great pressure so that they tend to not be able to handle what they need to.
Well, let me ask you, if you received 20 letters a day or even 10 letters a day within 1 month's time, that's 300 letters. Imagine actually receiving those letters in hard copy. Imagine someone sitting down and writing letters to you at the rate of receiving 10 letters a day. You know, I think that after the end of the month, after receiving 300 letters, you would say, hey, this is an overload. And yet we place the same expectation on others and upon ourselves when we send them an email. And so I don't forward emails to people at all. Even if it's funny, humorous, I like it, I simply don't do it because I know people have enough to keep up with now.
That's a good point. And I think, too, as we'll look at in the next couple of days, just how much we need to realize that we are not only influencing ourselves with technology, but we are forcing it and influencing other people's lives.
Well, there are some things we can do, and we will be discussing that in the next 2 days. But now we have today's feature.
And we're going to see how one man is dealing with some of the technological overload.
Thanks for meeting me here for lunch, Sam. But I've only got about 15 minutes.
15 minutes? What's up?
I'm sorry, but my boss grabbed me just as I was walking out the door and told me he needs me in a meeting with one of our customers. They'll be at our office very soon.
Not much time for lunch, Dave. Just leave whatever you don't finish and I'll eat it. By the way, did you get my fax yesterday?
Fax? What fax?
I faxed a product synopsis on the new MP3 player we're bringing to the market next month.
Oh yeah, I did get it. I tried to call you on your cell phone last night. I had some questions, but I just got your voicemail. Did you get my questions?
Well, I was a little confused, and your voice message was too long. It was too late for me to call you, so I sent a text message. I didn't want to wake you up at 2 a.m.
Wake me up? I was just getting started on my report for the engineering department. Your text message answered most of my questions, but I had some more details that I needed. So I typed them in an email before I went to bed about 4.
I checked my inbox this morning on my way to work using my PDA. I almost crashed my car into a milk truck while I was checking email. That guy was talking on his cell phone and pulled right out in front of me.
What about my email?
Well, as I swerved to miss the milk truck, I accidentally deleted it. Sorry, did you save it in your send box?
Well, it's a good thing I backed up everything last night on a disk. I can retrieve it and send it instead of retyping it. Have you got your laptop with you?
Nah, I left it back at my desk, sitting on top of my scanner. Let me get the disk from you tonight at our department technology meeting.
Have to do it tomorrow, Sam. Won't be at the technology meeting tonight. I'm going to a seminar with my wife.
Seminar? What kind of seminar?
She signed me up for this thing titled, How to Simplify Your Life.
I wonder why she did that.
Well, Dave sure sounds like he's overloading on technology. Hopefully the Simplifying His Life seminar will help him.
And I hope that some of the things we say or have said today and will say tomorrow and the next day will also help our listeners perhaps to be aware of the kinds of influence that technology is having on them and that maybe they can do some things to simplify their lives or make them easier.
Well, and we hope that we've made your life easier in helping you to learn English. And one of the things you can do, it is technology related, but you can go onto our website and hopefully you'll be able to learn more English with that through our topic talks and discussion questions and forum. We invite you to research more on our website.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us today, listeners. See you next time. Until then, this is Troy.
This is Bill.
And Jackie.
And Ethan.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.